day and welcome to the Law Enforcement Immigration Task Force press call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Kathleen Farrell. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Farrell, and welcome to the Law Enforcement press call. Our speakers today are members of the Law Enforcement Immigration Task Force who will talk about their concerns regarding legislation that would undermine community policing and threaten public safety, including measures that target so-called sanctuary cities. The Law Enforcement Immigration Task Force is also submitting a letter to members of Congress today to express their concerns, and the letter will be posted online at www.leitf.org by noon today. The primary mission of these law enforcement leaders is to serve and protect our cities, counties, and towns. They're committed to preserving our safety and security and to upholding the law. The two speakers today are Sheriff Michael Chitwood of Volusia County, Florida, and Sheriff Lupe Valdez of Dallas County, Texas. I'm going to turn it over now to Sheriff Chitwood.
Good morning. This is really an important issue for local law enforcement because the number one thing that we did when we raised our right hand and took an oath to become police officers in this country was to protect the victims of crime. And what we have is when you have a segment of the community who feels fearful that if they call the police to report criminal activity, whether it's human trafficking, domestic violence, somebody who's wanted, the spotlight is going to fall on them and they're going to be deported. They're not going to cooperate with law enforcement, thereby making their communities much, much more dangerous and embolden the criminals is what really happens. And I think requiring law enforcement to carry out federal duties is ridiculous. The federal government shouldn't be coming into our communities and telling us how to police places where we've lived, where we grow up. You know, an example of what we're doing here in Volusia County, Florida, is my crime prevention officer is a Mexican immigrant. She came here at 10 years of age. She worked as a clerk for the county for years before her citizenship came through, and she could become a law enforcement officer. And that's a connection that we have to have. I think that there's a big misnomer here. We're spending too much time focusing on, and I'm going to steal Sheriff Valdez's line, on 98% of the people who are here and want to be part of this country. We should be focusing our efforts on getting them into this country and assimilating them into American society and getting them in the tax base, as opposed to going out and spending all this time and these resources that could be used in other areas in my county. We have a huge issue with juvenile crime here in Volusia County that's homegrown that I need resources for. I have a huge segment of my population that can't read that are homegrown. And I just think we're misplacing the effort here, and we're alienating parts of our community. And if history has taught us anything, look at what's going on in Europe with terrorism. When you marginalize a community and you shove it off into the corner, bad things happen. They become radicalized. That's my points.
Thank you very much, Sheriff Chitwood. And now Sheriff Lupe Valdez of Dallas County, Texas.
The only thing I would add to that, he spoke very eloquently. The only thing I would add to that is law enforcement is always aware of what we call the broken window theory. That means if there's neighborhoods with a lot of broken windows, then there's going to be other things that go wrong with it. So we're looking at neighborhoods that now, because of their fear, will not report crime. So what's going to happen there? Those folks will be the prey of others, and they will be vulnerable to the people who want to take advantage of that. It's very clear to see when you come through a neighborhood, the broken window. It's very clear to see where they're not reporting crime. So they're going to take advantage of that. As I understand, Houston has taken stats on the immigrant neighborhoods and how much crime they have reported in the last 3 or 4 years. 40% of the crime reports are not being reported at this time. Up to 40% less crimes are being reported. I honestly don't believe it's 40% less crimes that are being committed. It's basically 40% less reporting because of the fear. It is our responsibility to serve and protect, and to serve and protect the vulnerable. And when people take advantage of that, we need to take whatever steps are necessary to stop that. And that is what we need to do. We need to stop people taking advantage of people that are afraid to report crimes.
Is this Sheriff Chitwood? If I could follow up on what the sheriff just very eloquently stated, what I believe we're seeing out of Washington, D.C. and Congress is a canard. They're taking their eye. They want the public to take their eye off the ball. The federal government for years has ignored this problem, and now they want to drive it down to local law enforcement and make us the bad guy and do their work in our communities where we need that connection there. We need that. That's how we survive. And that's what I think the sham of this is. If the sham is going on, they Congress punted this away for years and years and years, and now they're telling us, if you don't do your job the way we want it done, we're going to withhold federal funding to you. Those same federal funds that helped me put cops in the schools, those same funds that helped me combat violent crime in my community and drugs in my community, they're threatening to take that away from us.
Sheriff Valdez, this is Kathleen. So before we go to questions, I'd like to ask you a question. What are you seeing specifically in your community in terms of how you mentioned in other communities where crime reporting has gone down? What are you seeing specifically in your own community in terms of your officers' interactions with community members?
Well, it's always the same thing everywhere. There's fear. I've heard that school attendance has gone down because they're afraid. And I've heard that counselors have been asked by second graders, what will happen to me if they take my mommy? How, when I get home, what do I do when they take my mommy? You know, we should never put a child in this situation. If we, as law enforcement, when we take someone to jail, we make sure the child is taken care of, either by CPS or Child Protective Service or other methods or a relative, something. Immigration doesn't do the same thing. You just, if the child is in school and comes home and there's no one home, no one's there to find out. You know, we need to take care of our folks to make sure that they don't become vulnerable to the prey that is constantly around them. And it's almost a shame that we cannot act further to take care of the folks that we're responsible for. In Texas, the last time we took the Department of Public Safety measures, the crimes committed by undocumented were 1.6%. 1.6%. That's less than 2% of the total crime in Texas is being committed by undocumented. Of course, we always say that the person that crime is committed to, it doesn't matter what percentage it is. It's painful, and there's no way around that. It hurts. But it also means that 98% of our crimes are committed by our own folks. 98% of our crimes, and as I usually say, look at your daily activity. Look at tonight's news. Look at last night's news. Look at tomorrow's news in whatever city you're on. If you travel, look at the news in that city. It's not the undocumented that's committed the crime. It's our own folks. And if it is the undocumented, it becomes national news. And why does it become national news? Because it doesn't happen that often. The majority of the people are here to find a better quality of life. Granted, we need to find a better way of that happening. We need to find a better way of immigration reform. But that shouldn't be on the backs of local law enforcement. That shouldn't be on the backs of people who already have enough of their hands to take care of. That should be on the federal side. We have enough issues, and they should not be on the backs of taking away money to take care of things like that.
Thank you, Sheriff Valdez. Operator, do we have questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1, and we're going to go first to Laura Meckler with Wall Street Journal.
Hi, guys. I have a couple questions for you. Hello. Well, let's start with two. One is, how, among your, not necessarily speaking for both yourselves as well as for other sheriffs that you know, how much of this is the issues that you've laid out in terms of communities trusting the police, and how much of this is the are the legal questions, the appellate court decisions that have found that counties and jails are liable if they improperly detain somebody on an ICE detainer?
Lauren, as a sheriff within Volusia County, that's a great question, and I think you hit the topic there as well. While I don't control my jail here, I'm one of the few sheriffs that does not. It's controlled by an authority. All of the attorneys and myself are in agreement that even the federal courts can't decide on what a detainer is or what a detainer is not. And there is a liability issue and a fundamental fairness there. If I make an arrest, I have to have probable cause and a warrant to detain someone. So that plays into our decision making, as well as the fact of you don't have to look too in the distant past to see what a lack of community policing and community engagement brings to keeping your community safer and vibrant. In Volusia County, in the northwest part of the county, is a little town called Pearson. There's maybe 700 people in it. But, however, it is the fern-growing capital of America. $60 million a year are generated into the local economy based on Mexican migrant workers that come into our community and do the jobs that nobody else wants to do. And they're here working really hard to give their families, as Sheriff Valdez said, to give their families a better life. So I really think that we should really be focusing on, if you have these hard-working folks that are here for the American dream, and they want their kids to go to the best schools and become members of leading members in society, why are we not working to get those folks on the tax rolls? Because the other thing is, when I go to community forums here, and we've been to a lot of them, I get up and the first thing I tell everybody is, listen, I'm here to enforce the law. If there's a warrant for somebody's arrest, if somebody's drug dealing, if there's child pornography or human trafficking going on, I got to know that because we don't want that person in our community. And overwhelmingly, I get a standing ovation when I say that, because that's what the community, they don't want, the community doesn't want criminals there. They want to assimilate into American society as best they can.
But let me just push back on, play devil's advocate here a bit on what you're saying. You're saying that you need policies that the community will trust and be willing to report crimes. And I can understand how that has a direct link to the issues of whether the local police are asking people about their status and are seeking, to essentially be an extension of an immigration enforcement. But when we're just talking about a sheriff holding somebody up to 48 hours on a detainer, somebody who is already incarcerated for one reason or another, and there is a risk, obviously, if you release that person, that they will commit a crime. So would honoring detainers really in and of itself undermine community trust in the police? We're not even, specifically talking about the police. We're talking about the jail policy.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sheriff. I'll be glad to take that one. We are very strong in getting in not putting criminals out into the community. Now, the truth is, the community, as the sheriff just mentioned, the community applauds when you get rid of the criminals. They don't want it. A better quality of life does not include being attacked, being robbed, being raped, being shot at. That is not a better quality of life. That is not what they came for. Most of them tried to escape that.
Right, but we're not talking about – but if you could just address the question directly, because you've already made these points and I understand them, but we're talking about somebody who has been – we're not talking about an everyday, average, undocumented immigrant. We're talking about somebody who has already encountered the criminal justice system and who is incarcerated. So could you make the argument specifically why there's a risk of honoring the detainer? That's the specific policy that's at
actually, I honor those detainers. I don't have any problem.
You honor
honoring
those detainers?
Yes. I don't have any problem.
You hold somebody for 48 hours at ICE's request?
I don't have any problem honoring a detainer for a person who has committed a violent crime. That's helping my community.
So how do you define a violent crime?
By the criminal code. Anything that considers any instrument of committing a crime, guns, knives, any abuse, mm-hmm. We just go by the criminal code. Any violent crime, which is basically a violent felony, I have no trouble honoring.
Okay.
You know, so we honor those because nobody wants criminals in their neighborhood. And you know, if that happens to be your son or your daughter, I'm sorry, but the same happens with U.S. citizens. If you have a son or daughter who's committed a violent crime, we take them. And when we remove them from society and try to do something better. And that's where we should be putting our emphasis and trying to make all this better, not our emphasis on the people who are not committing crimes.
Operator, do we have other questions on the line? Thank you very much, Laura, for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, that is star one for questions, star one at this time. And it appears we have no further questions at this time, ma'am.
Good.
So thank you very much to our participants, to Sheriff Valdez of Dallas County, Texas, and to Sheriff Chitwood of Volusia County, Florida. And
thank
have a good
you.
Day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.